And with familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nathan. It is Sunday, December 7th. We come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. The Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Shout out to producer Dom and Bailey. All of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM. Kids, if you don't know what it means, ask your parents. Apps like iHeart, TuneIn. Everywhere you get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice. And yes, I give thanks for that. Special shout out to those listening, of course, in the American Forces Network worldwide. We thank you for your service each and every day. Give thanks for that. I'll be with you for the next hour, filling in once again for the on assignment, Andrew Zarian. And we got a lot to talk about per usual over this next hour-ish, including all the happenings, of course, from Saturday's AEW Collision. I watched very late at night, went to a Christmas party, and had to watch my Collision after, do some work for the Wrestling Observer site. So I'll talk about my thoughts and developments of the Continental Classic. Winter is coming, some developments there as well. So all the AEW news and you need to know. Of course, TV deals, streaming deals, all that were the talk of the business this week. TNA and also Netflix. How does this affect WBD? Does it affect AEW? Of course, it's going to affect WBD, but I have some thoughts and I think people are getting a little bit panicked and a little bit headline-y and worried about things and maybe not fully thinking about things. We'll chat about that. John Cena is retiring in less than a week. He's been doing a lot of media. I have thoughts about that. How many titles is too many titles? Friday night, I think, finally hit overload. We've said that before. I'll give you my thoughts. We had a ton to talk about. I can't wait to get into it with you. So stick around with me, Josh Nathan, on Wrestling Observer Live over the next hour. Come right back after this. We'll get started with some AEW Collision talk. Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back after this. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nathan, filling in for the on assignment, Andrew Zarian. Happy to be here, as always. I have not talked to you on this show since mid-November. And since the last time we talked, it is really cold. It's really cold here in the seacoast of New Hampshire, where I'm speaking to you today. Got a snowstorm this week. I'm moving in a couple weeks. Family and I are packing up the house. Sold it. And I did not want to move in the wintertime, and this is why, as I look out the window right now. No fun in moving, although you find things that you forgot you had, that's for sure. I found a ton of wrestling books. I'm like, am I ever going to read these? I found a contact lens I had been looking for, a prescription for probably about 6 months. Found those type of things. My daughter's found stuff. So it's moving is the absolute worst, but hopefully it'll be all worth it in the end. All good, all good. I have no transition to talk about AEW. I'm going to try to do it anyway. They're always moving. The superstars of AEW are always moving. But yeah, we had the Continental Classic last night. Of course, we had AEW Collision last night, which happened with all the Continental Classic action. I watched this show starting at 11 o'clock Eastern last night. I was at a Christmas party, one I've been to, let's see, 25 years, I'd say, that I've been invited to this thing, a bunch of friends and so on. It's a fun time. And I get asked, oh, are you around tonight? Could you use some help, some AEW coverage? So I said, you bet. So I came home from the party. Yeah, and I stayed up very late to make sure I was ready for today's show. And it was, I tell you what, it was worth my time. It was worth my time. And I say that because it was an AEW Collision that meant something. They had stars on the show. They had big-time matches on the show. And I think that mattered. Tony Khan seemed to really put emphasis on this. I don't know if it was because of location. They were filming from Galaxy Con, which apparently is a big convention of all types of things in Columbus, Ohio. They've gone there before, past couple of years, so I think that's probably a guarantee in the future. It will always be a stop in December. And they decided to bring the stars, including Swerve Strickland, his first live promo since returning from injury. Of course, he returned at Full Gear. And then he made an appearance back at the Hangman, Adam Page. And yeah, he spoke for the first time. So, I mean, that's something you usually see on Dynamite, but it happened. And he set up a tag team match for Winter is Coming, which the Dynamite version is this Wednesday. So he and Hangman Page will take on Katsuyori Shibata and Powerhouse Hobbs in a tornado tag team match. So that's happening. So again, the angle being, or the interest really being, you have Hangman and Page teaming these blood rivals, but Strickland saying, one night only, I'll team with you, because they have this common enemy in Samoa Joe, you see. So that was made for last night. And then he also has a match for this Saturday coming up in Cardiff, Wales. So AEW is returning there for, they're doing a Cardiff show, doing a Manchester, England show, and they will, on Collision, have Swerve Strickland and Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander interrupting Swerve Strickland last night. You have a former AEW world champion, former TNA world champion, and their first time ever meeting in the ring. So I'm looking forward to that one. I think that should be really fun. Obviously, Strickland, I assume, will win that match and will start to, again, reestablish himself. But yeah, he's getting that Wednesday, he's getting some work in, then Saturday. So he is getting back to action. Interested to see how he does movement-wise with all the added muscle and so on and so forth, and kind of getting the rust off. So yeah, that should be interesting. Of course, other developments last night, Darby Allin injured out of the AEW Continental Classic. Injury suffered in the match with Kevin Knight he had in the first round. We don't know specifically what the injuries are, but they were bad enough. And this guy, again, it's been said a lot this week as this story has developed, but it is crazy that he didn't take any massive bumps. He didn't go through glass. He did, you know, all this crazy stuff that this guy has done in his AEW run. And it was a wrestling match. I think it was just a regular bump, I assume. But all that, never been out of action like this. And he is out of action, and he's going to be out of action long enough where they have to replace him in the Continental Classic tournament. I don't think he was obviously going to win anyway, but I don't know what creative plans they had for him, but he's being replaced by Jack Perry. So yes, Jack Perry will be filling his spot. And we don't have any Gold League. That's the league that we're in. We don't have any Gold League matches scheduled for next. We have no idea when the next matches are going to be, because nothing was announced in terms of Continental Classic for either Dynamite Winter is coming or Collision Winter is coming. I would assume we will get a few matches there this week. We'll go through the lineups here in just a few minutes. But the Continental Classic itself was very entertaining last night. We had three matches. Of course, we had a big upset, being Máscara Dorada defeating Claudio Castagnoli, the reigning CMLL heavyweight champion. I assume that will set up a match in Arena Mexico coming up at some point soon. Claudio gets win back. That was a fun match. So a big upset there. Continues this run of luchadors defeating Claudio in the tournament. Of course, last year, Commander, his lone win, defeating Claudio. I believe I called that as well last year. We also had the main event of the night was Konosuke Takeshita defeating Jon Moxley in the Blue League. Very fun physical match. Fans were into it. And this was great. And Takeshita picking up a victory. And he now has 6 points. He is tied with Claudio and fellow Don Callis family member Kyle Fletcher for the tournament lead. They all have 6 points each. And then we had a show opener, which is Orange Cassidy defeating Roderick Strong, the conglomeration exploding. And that was fine. I mean, well wrestled, but I just am not into the conglomeration stuff at all, you know? So this really didn't do much for me. But yeah, three Blue League matches, so I expect the Gold League has to get going this week. And yeah, Cassidy has 3 points, Takeshita 6, Moxley 3, Castagnoli 6, Roderick Strong 0, Dorada 3. In the Gold League, obviously Jack Perry, as I mentioned, has 0, Pac 3, Kevin Knight 3, Mike Bailey 0, Kyle Fletcher 6, and Okada 3. Again, nothing announced for the upcoming week. My predictions, if you listen to Josh Nason's Punch Out, I did a full Continental Classic preview show on there, is the four finalists, or it'll be basically the final four will be Okada, Kyle Fletcher, Konosuke, Takeshita, and I believe I said Moxley, even though part of me thinks that Cassidy is somehow going to get in there, and the semifinals will be Cassidy versus Okada, it'll be Takeshita versus Fletcher, and the finals will be Takeshita over Okada to win the Continental title. And then, therefore, you'll have another separate champion. And we'll talk more about titles here in a little bit, but that'll all be broken out. And that'll happen at World's End. I think it makes a lot of sense. The tournament is fun. It provides a structure for AEW, a structure for Tony Khan that he has to adhere to. And I think that's good. And every year it's good. And I think that's a benefit for AEW. Will they ever have a Women's Continental Classic? This came up in my podcast earlier this week. And I think at some point there will be. There's a hesitancy from Tony Khan for committing to it. And I think he doesn't know where to fit in the schedule. That's a big commitment in terms of matches, in terms of women's matches you have to commit to on a weekly basis. Does he not think they have the horses? I don't know. Is there not a creative plan? But, you know, we did the first Women's and Blood and Guts match this week. My bold prediction, I think they'll do a Continental Classic for the women at some point next year, perhaps leading it all in. They obviously cannot do it at the same time as the men's Continental Classic, because that's just a little bit too much. But I think it makes sense. I think they have the women to do it, and I think they have the matches that will make people care. So, yeah, we'll kind of see what happens with that. But, yeah, the men's AEW Continental Classic off to a strong start already, and we'll talk more about that and more as the show goes on. We're coming up on the break. Time to talk a little TV next. I got lots of thoughts on this TNA AMC deal, Netflix news, the WBD, and why people are fretting way too much about things that we don't even know about yet. Classic in the world of pro wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Come right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason, back with you Sunday, December 7th, filling in for Andrew Zarian on this fine, cold, sunny Sunday. Cold Sunday. Actually, it's not even sunny. It's overcast. What am I talking about? Anywho, I got thoughts about TV. I love talking about TV. TV shows, especially. But I guess we'll talk about TV networks and all that. So, of course, you've heard this week, TNA heading to AMC domestically here in the United States starting in mid-January. But January 15th, that could be it. With Thursday Night Impacts, that deal is done. A multi-year deal. A lot of conjecture this week about this. I have a lot of thoughts about this. We're going to talk to this. We're going to talk about the Netflix WBD things from Friday in an email. I think it was a little misconstrued. Heard some talk on Wrestling Observer Radio that I don't think was too attention to detail oriented, but we'll get into that. Here's my thoughts about the TNA thing. And I follow this stuff a lot. I'm on, talk Brandon Thurston a lot on my podcast 4 times a year. We do some AEW business talk and so on. I am not ratings obsessed. I take the philosophy that our editor Joe Currier takes, and he mentioned it, and I do agree with this philosophy of you keep on the week to week. The bigger picture is you get it. It's the 30,000-foot view. You keep focusing on the week to week, and oh, this up this week, down this week. You gotta look further back and look at trends. It's just a headline. It's just a news story for the week to week stuff. So I want to kind of just pin that in this conversation. But TNA, look, certainly it's better than Access TV. Here's my questions with this, based on past observations. Multi-year deal, and the money wasn't announced. Why was that? Is it not significant enough? That's, to me, what that says. There's a report out there from Blake Avignon. He's been getting dragged a little bit because people don't believe him. He's got some MMA stuff, but right before, and I will stay. I don't want to say optimistic, but we'll see how this thing plays out. He also said that TNA was going to enact their essentially 90-day or 60-day opt-out clause with a WWE deal. I find that hard to believe, but we'll see what happens with Blake. He's got some stuff in the back. Correct before. In the past, but he said, it was a $30 million deal. I don't know if he said it was 3 years or not. So 3 at 10, conceivable. But when a TV network or a TV deal, and I noticed this with some of the TKO stuff with boxing and so on with Paramount, if they don't announce the money and no other outlet announces the money based on sourcing, it's not a significant money deal. Now, significant in terms of the industry, that's one thing, if TNA is getting $10 million a year, that's significant to them. So that's of note. But no money and multi-year deal. So my guess is it's 3 years. It's tough to speculate in the money. Is it five? Is it six? And again, what? It's a 9 to 11 slot once a week. They're also they're having the content for AMC TV as well. I don't really know what the value is there, but it's going to be on there too. It's also going to be available on TNA Plus. I have not got an answer to ask, is it going to be simulcast live like it was before? I haven't got an answer on that, which makes you think maybe not, but maybe it could be available right after the show airs on TNA Plus. So for TNA, the value is you're getting 2 hours on a major, quote-unquote major, I guess, whatever that means now in today's cable landscape. We don't know how much money, and there's conflicting reports of whether WWE helped them out or not. Is it a big deal if they did? It depends on, I guess, what your view of the wrestling landscape is. I prefer independence. Does TNA want to be independent eventually from WWE? I don't think they do, because this association with WWE has helped them get to this point. However, that also comes with expectations. I don't think WWE is doing this out of the goodness of their own heart. If they are helping, Carlos Silva said that they didn't. Fightful did some reporting saying that WWE did help with this deal. Now, were they negotiating? Were they in the room? Did they make the intros? Regardless, if one promotion helps another get a TV deal, there are some obligations, some expectations, I think. Are they trying to send them to be the AEW killer? That's what a lot of people think. I find that hard to believe that's going to happen. I do not believe they're the number two promotion in the world. The number two promotion in the world would have had their finances out there. Is it a time buy? Probably not. And the other thing that stands out is Carlos Silva at one point, the TNA president, said they wanted to go live every week. Based on this first round of tapings, that's not going to happen. I don't know if it necessarily needs to happen. And that's kind of the things I've just a lot of questions about this. Expectations. You know, I was listening to Voice of Wrestling, another fine podcasting group and content group that's out there. I was listening to their flagship wrestling show the other day. And they were saying, you know, it's a good reminder. It's not the first week. It's not the second week. It's the fourth and fifth weeks. So it's really going to tell you kind of where their level is. And you're going to have the bad faith actors that want anything AEW to go down. And so they're really going to try to build this up like it's going to be a huge thing if they have a big number that first night. What is a big number? I don't know. I'm interested to see, again, on partnerships and expectations, who does WWE send there? Because they're going to do something. And it's essentially, you know, my instinct was first announced as congratulating NXT on their second TV deal, their version of Collision. And it's a bummer, you know? You like independence. I don't know. I mean, WWE was mentioned in the release. I just don't get a sense that TNA and the group, I don't get a sense that they are going to want to get away from it. And also, if I'm them, I don't blame them. And I don't blame them because I don't think they were getting this without WWE. And I think all this buzz and just a little bit of attention, I think, has helped them. It is possible they could want to get away from them, but I don't know. I don't think they want to. So what does that mean for the industry? You have WB controlling them, NXT, AAA. There's a lot of mixing and matching. And essentially, WB has another couple hours, kind of, on TV. They're not getting paid for it, or are they? I ask that because I wonder, you know, in this partnership, you know, WB signed this partnership deal with TNA. Is there any type of language in there that if WB is able to secure them a TV deal, or at least help, do they get some money back? Purely speculating. Does WB financially benefit at all? Or is there, you know, what's the language of that contract? I'd love to see it. But this next year and this first, 2026 is going to tell us a lot about that. I don't expect the DNA of those two companies to separate, put it that way. But we'll see what happens. Netflix, let's flip to them. Everyone's wondering, what's this going to mean for AEW? Of course, Netflix put in a bid, and a bid got accepted for part of Warner Bros. Discovery. That was the big thing. Initially, I saw this like everyone else did. And you think through and you're just like, oh my God, they bought the whole company. What does this mean? No, they didn't. They actually bought part of the company, which is the studios, the movie studios, bunch of IP, essentially Harry Potter, the DC Universe, Game of Thrones, HBO, HBO Max, a streaming service, but none of the TV networks. So the only thing that really affects AEW would be HBO Max streaming. Nothing to worry about, at least now. And I say that because this deal might not happen because of a lot of political stuff that I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're aware of with President Donald Trump and the Ellisons who own Paramount Skydance, and they're quite upset about this. Is Trump going to get involved and block this? This obviously has to be approved by the, I believe, the SEC and the FCC. So it's government and regulation because this is two massive companies. And essentially, in a lot of ways, depending on the movie business and what their agreements are going to be, this could affect the theater business dramatically in a way it may never recover from. So there's a lot to come. And this thing might not happen at all. It's very possible. And then what happens, we'll see. But a lot of people just saying, oh, what about this? And in Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave was reading, he mentioned his email that went out from Netflix. And the way that he read it is like, oh, HBO Max is not going anywhere. That was the way that kind of he perceived it. However, I'm like, that is not how I read it. So I actually, I don't even know if I even have it here. But the email, the way that it read, essentially, nothing's going to change for now, and everything is going to stay the same. And that's true because they haven't bought the company. They could not change it even if they wanted to. The earliest this deal could get done is Q3 of 2026. And again, there's a lot of regulation, and WBD is separating out the TV networks and this whole separate thing that they, you know, we'll see what happens there. That's the thing you got to look for. So everyone getting really concerned, what's the future of AEW? You put it on the back burner. We are not going to know anything for a long time. So just rest easy. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the first, I don't know, 3-4 months of next year, first 6 months. Nothing to worry about, nothing to concern yourself about AEW. But a lot of people really want to assume all these things are going to happen. No one has any idea. And that's because it's a $85 billion deal, something in those lines. Things just not snap your fingers, get done. So again, Netflix has zero say in anything Warner Brothers related. So no streaming service. So if they say everything's staying put, that's because it has to. There's nothing else they can do. They're talking like that because they're confident the deal is going to get done. But if it does, it is a long time from now. AEW's deal runs through 2027. So I would say next summer is when it's like, okay, how is that going to work for Max? And everything else, then you just kind of just start thinking, okay, we'll see what happens after that. But again, TBS and TNT for right now, everything's staying put. So nothing to be concerned about. And again, language matters, language matters, language matters. Come right back, more language. Let's talk about John Cena. Come right back after the break. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, December 7th. My name is Josh Nason. If you're here and you like what you hear, you can head over to WrestlingObserver.com and get a subscription. You can also go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, $10 a month to get all the podcasts, all the audio like this show, and also Josh Nason's Punch Out, which is a podcast I do over there. I'm doing a year in review series every single month of the year, 12 episodes, different guests, different topics for that month. They're a lot of fun. If you're into history and kind of what happened, something to listen to, I've been doing this for, I think, 5 years or so for this, and one of the things I absolutely love doing and love talking about, and guests have fun, people have fun listening to it. So please spread the word. Check it out all for free. You can check out my shows at WrestlingObserver.com or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or check out any of the other fine guest hosts for as low as $10 a month. Having said all that, some thoughts. How many titles are too many titles? Friday, we had a lot of shows. We had 3 shows going head-to-head-to-head. We had SmackDown, we had Final Resolution, and then we also had Ring of Honor Final Battle. And we had NXT Deadline on Saturday, and we also had, which I haven't talked about yet, we also have AEW Collision. And I think if I have my math right, I did a quick scan before the show, I believe there's 15 title defenses. 15 title defenses over the course of those two nights. Now, the too many titles thing is a discussion that's been had a lot. And Tony Khan does not care when it comes to Ring of Honor, AEW. He wants a lot of titles, and so do other promotions as well. This is what happened at Ring of Honor Final Battle. We had the inaugural Pure Champion crown. We had the women's TV title match. We had the Ring of Honor vacant tag team titles filled. We had the six-man tag team title match. We had an AEW national title match. We had our Ring of Honor women's title match, and we also had a Ring of Honor men's world title match. So we had that at Final Battle. So just on that show alone, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, 7, not 6. 7 at Final Battle. And then if you're watching TNA Final Resolution, well, I mean, you had some titles on the line there. World title, X Division title, tag team title, knockouts title, international title, and the knockouts tag team titles. And on SmackDown, there was a U.S. title match. And of course, on Deadline, we had a NXT title match and I believe a North American title match as well. So not even all the titles were defended on some of these shows. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. I think, here's my theory on all this. I think that we are bound to get here in this point where we have titles and factions. I think titles and factions are slowly starting to really erode wrestling, maybe quicker. Erode it maybe too slow. But I think what happens with titles, it's because of these bloated rosters. Talents just, they want to hoard all this talent because they don't want to give them up to other places. There's a belief they could do something. They're not sure what to do with them, blah, 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 blah. And so these rosters are huge on both WWE and AEW. WWE consider they have their main roster, they have NXT, and they also have Evolve, and they have the ID people, right? And Ring of Honor, or AEW has their titles, and they also have Ring of Honor. And I think what happens is we need something for all these people to do and pursue. And so by creating more titles, you automatically are able to do that. You can talk yourself in whatever. You can do battle royals, you can do tournaments, you can do casino gauntlets, you can do all these things just to keep some of these people occupied, because otherwise you have to think up a lot of stuff for a lot of people. And I don't think that's good for the business. Now, do people care? I don't know. I think the wrestling intelligentsia, those folks, I think we care. Not necessarily calling myself intelligent. I'm not a dummy. But I think there is a, you can see it. And when a new title is created, it's not like, all right, this is obvious. And some promotions, you can, for the years, you'd be able to tell that. They add new titles like, oh, okay, this makes sense. But even WWE has added a lot, you know, the women's Intercontinental title, the women's U.S. title. They added the speed titles. They have all these people and they need something to do with them, because otherwise you're going to try to come up with stories and reasons for them exist for what, a few hundred people? It's impossible to do. So then titles and factions, you align them with people just so they get TV time, even though they're not wrestling and so on. TNA, it's the same thing. And look, I mean, there's other promos. CMLL has a ton of titles. AAA, I'm sure, does as well. And it is a lot to care about. So people cannot care about everything. And again, most of us are a good percentage that came up watching wrestling and so on. It is the pursuit of just a few championships. And when you got them, it meant something because there's not a lot of them. But those rosters were much smaller. And it's something as a growing issue. And I don't know. There's things that you kind of start to think about. Was like, it does this as I'm watching, does this feel good? Is this something I'm really interested in? Why do I care about these titles? And I'm going to guess for a lot of fans, the titles, when there's a title match, titles on the line or whatever, that they're getting desensitized to it. I know I am. I'm sure a lot of other people are as well. What do you think? Hit me up at Twitter or Blue Sky at Josh Nason, J-O-S-H NASON. I'd love to hear from you. A couple other things before we get out of here. We have a little bit more time left. John Cena is retiring this Saturday, and he is doing his media tour. And it's very interesting to me. He did Joe Rogan. He did Bill Simmons' podcast. So that dropped on Thursday night. And I think it was an hour 40, if I remember right. Rogan, I think it was a couple hours. I have not listened to any of these. There's a lot of long interviews. Nick Khan did a bunch of stuff this week. But the Cena was interesting because I was reading through some of the transcripts. And Cena, it's funny. He was on with Bill Simmons. And I don't know how much he swore, if at all. If he did, it was very minor, I think. And the Rogan one, all I saw was him dropping the F-bomb left and right and left and right. It's weird that and the Simmons show, he's dressed in this, the pinstripe suits he really loves that look awful. And on Rogan's show, he dressed like a normal dude. He had, you know, the black shirt and there's a black hat and he just looked like a normal guy. It is weird. He's this chameleon that just will adapt to whatever environment is and kind of drop down to that. But Bill Simmons would have been fine with him swearing. He was dressed in a sweatshirt and all that. And it's, I find it fascinating. I haven't listened to either of these, as I mentioned, but Cena is going to be doing probably a few more media pieces, I would assume, this week after you do two of the biggest podcasts in the world. I don't know really what else you do that matters. You know, he might do a Players Tribune feature this week. I wouldn't be surprised about that, but a couple may print things or something, but I don't think he's going to do in the media rounds of local newspapers or anything. But yeah, Gunter is coming up this Saturday, Washington, D.C., so we'll have the final build for Cena. You know, a lot of Cena quotes. People are going to forget him by the Royal Rumble and so on and so forth. This has been, what an interesting year this has been for Cena, unintentionally and perhaps probably intentionally. Just fascinating. The heel turn that sucked and was awful. We had this kind of babyface resurgence. He won the Intercontinental title, the feel-good run at the end, really, when he made the turn. And, you know, he won the Intercontinental title in Boston. And, you know, so he competed at Survivor Series and lost the title. And we've had this last time is now a tournament, which I like the idea of. The execution, you know, I don't know if I really love as much. But, yeah, we're coming near the end. And what is Saturday going to look like? He's apparently going to be opening up the show. I believe Dave Meltzer reported that. He's going to be opening up the show, he and Gunter. And I assume they're going to have some sort of recognition after. And they're going to do matches after that, which I think are going to kind of fall flat for a lot of people. But I assume they want to get out of there at a certain time. And they want to leave that off and just pop a number for Peacock, which is crazy. It's going to be on a streaming service. But that's how things work. I assume the entire roster will be there in some form or fashion and to recognize him. And I don't know, perhaps they do I think that's going to be it. I don't think he's going to be appearing on Raw and SmackDown and getting honored and things like that. But, you know, he'll have his Hall of Fame ceremony, I'm sure, at Mania probably this year. Perhaps that's revealed on Saturday. I would certainly not be surprised about that. And then, yeah, I think he'll ride off into the sunset. And do I think it's the last time we're going to see him on TV? Definitely not. I think he's in the main frame. He's in the groove and he's in WWE. He's a WWE guy. Do I think he's going to ever wrestle again? He claims definitely not, but it's always retirement is always as good as the call and the money and all that, but he's busy. He's got a lot of stuff to do. And you know, my hope for Saturday, my hope is The Rock is there. If they don't ever close the loop on that, even just a visual of some form, just one of the strangest things I've gone back in this year interview series, how big that seemed to be and just how much of a letdown it was. It'll be telling if Dwayne Johnson is not there on Saturday. Hot ticket, huge event. It's going to get mainstream buzz. And if Dwayne Johnson's not there, a little bit of a shock. I'm very surprised. Not just sending in a video, you know, make the trip. Make the trip to Washington. Go in for a business trip and then come back. But yeah, John Cena, lots of thoughts about Cena. I'm sure there's been a lot, of course, out there. This is going to be a weekend with there's going to be a lot of tributes and favorite matches and columns and all those things, and he's earned it. You know, he went from UPW as the prototype, and to make it where he is, it's been a hell of a run. It has been a hell of a run for John Cena. So looking forward to see what happens there. Yeah, we have Obafemi taking on Cody Rhodes at Saturday night's main event. That should be a lot of fun. I don't know if that means he's officially getting called up or not, but that's definitely going to happen. Brock Lesnar appearing at the Las Vegas Sphere. Do you hear the stories? We kind of go through and wrap things up for the week. Brock Lesnar, he made his debut at the Sphere in Las Vegas. He's going to be there working throughout January. Why do you say that? Well, he is part of the video presentation for the Zach Brown Band. Zach Brown Band playing a run of shows at the Sphere. And during one of the songs, Zach Brown and Brock Lesnar on the video screen, the entire building's a video screen, they do essentially a caveman-esque fight. They're both, you know, shirts off, and it's something. I saw some clips, so you can look at those on our website. There's an article about it. What a riot. Brock Lesnar, and you never know what he's going to end up doing, these random things, you know? Let's see, what else? Really cool. We have this, speaking of John Cena, he spent the day on Saturday at the Bailey's Lodestone Women's Wrestling Camp. So she's doing this weekend-long thing, paying for it all herself, and a really good thing, and a give back to women's wrestling. And John Cena apparently was there for 8 hours, and Brian Alvarez said he brought a notepad, took notes on the matches, met with every wrestler individually to get them personal advice. I mean, there's probably, like, I think 40 women there. So a cool thing that Bailey's doing. She seems to be really kind of transitioning this next part of her career. And I'm fascinated to see what happens if she a WWE lifer? You know, is she someone that maybe want to try what Mercedes Moné did and have one last run outside the company? I think that'd be fascinated by that. I like when talents do that and just do some fun things, but I thought Natalya was going to do that, but she really didn't re-sign with WWE, but I think her Bayley's deal is up next year. So we'll see what happens with her, and we'll see what happens when we come back from the break. We're going to look at the week ahead, another busy one. All that and more coming up. Wrestling Observer Live, come right back after this. Okay, final segment, Wrestling Observer Live. Wherever you're hearing this, I give thanks for you to listening to me. My name is Josh Nason. Follow me on Twitter or Blue Sky, Josh Nason, whatever your preference is. I appreciate that. Let's look at the week ahead. There's always a busy week. And of course, as I mentioned, a definitely busy week in with John Cena. We have Raw coming up on Monday. So I'm sure we'll get some of the build to The Last Time Is Now. Was coming up with John Cena on Saturday. We have NXT on Tuesday, the follow-up from, let's see, what do we have? Oh, we had NXT Deadline. Sorry, I did not talk about this. Obafemi regaining the NXT title for Mickey Starks on that show. So we'll see eventually. Brian Alvarez has a report that he sees some call-ups coming pretty soon. That's what he's hearing. No names. Obafemi, likely, perhaps. Ricky Starks, perhaps. Trick Williams, perhaps. We'll see. We have AEW Dynamite coming up on Wednesday. We'll have Ring of Honor and TNA Impact coming up on Thursday. Of course, the follow-up from Final Resolution and Final Battle. A lot of finals there. SmackDown on Friday. I don't know if Cena is going to appear in either of those shows or not. I don't think so. And finally, we have an early Collision coming up on next Saturday from Cardiff, Wales. It's being taped earlier in the day, I do believe. But it's running at 4:30 Eastern. And that's Saturday night's main event. At 8 p.m. Eastern, or sorry, 7 or 8, I think. So that should be pretty big as well. So one of those times, I think 8 o'clock. But another busy week in wrestling ahead. Of course, we're hurtling towards the holidays. We have all the AEW holiday shows. Their shows are going to be all over the place. We have World's End. But yeah, WWE's big event really kind of ends with John Cena this Saturday. So should be a lot of fun. Buckle up for a great week. And I hope you have a great week. And I give a lot of thanks to you for listening to me. You have a lot of choice in your podcast day or even your radio days. And I'm grateful you spent time here with me on Wrestling Observer Live. Andrew Zarian will be back next week. And have a great week. My name is Josh Nason, and thank you again. This has been the Sunday, December 7th edition of Wrestling Observer Live.